the sense of smell. The olfactory system is the only one of the five sensory systems that goes directly from the sensory organ to where it is processed in the brain. The messages from all other senses, sight, hearing, touch, and taste, are sent to a relay station before they are sent to their final destination in different parts of the brain. Because your sense of smell goes directly to the limbic system, it is easy to understand why smells can have such a powerful impact on our feeling states. The multi-billion dollar perfume and deodorant industries count on this fact. Beautiful smells evoke pleasant feelings and draw people toward you. Unpleasant smells repel them. I learned about the limbic smell connection firsthand when I was 16 years old and dating a good Catholic girl who had a lot of self-control. As a typical teenage boy, I had less of it. One night, I ran out of my aftershave and borrowed my brother's English leather. When I picked her up for our date, I noticed a difference. I had a car with a bench seat in the front. Usually, she sat across the car near the passenger door. That night, she sat in the middle seat next to me. She took my hand before I reached out for hers. She was cuddlier and more affectionate than before. From then on, English leather was the only scent I wore. Bonding, smells, sexuality, and the limbic system are intimately connected. Napoleon once wrote to Josephine to ask her not to bathe for 2 weeks before he came home from a battle. He wanted her scent to be powerful because it sexually excited him. Limbic overactivity, often associated with depression, frequently results in decreased sexual interest. For many years, I have hypothesized that decreased sexual activity is associated with increased limbic activity and more vulnerability to depression. I studied this phenomenon in a man who had problems with depression and increased activity in his limbic system on SPECT. I asked him to make passionate love with his wife. I then re-scanned him within an hour. His limbic activity had significantly decreased. Orgasm has been described as a mini-seizure of the limbic system and tends to release or lessen limbic activity. Sexuality is good for the bonded human brain with a committed partner. Whenever a person is sexually involved with another person, neurochemical changes occur in both their brains that encourage limbic emotional bonding. Yet limbic bonding is the reason casual sex doesn't really work for many people on a whole mind and body level. Two people may decide to have sex just for the fun of it, yet something is occurring on another level they might not have decided on at all. Sex is enhancing an emotional bond between them, whether they want it or not. One person, often the woman, is bound to form an attachment and will be hurt when a casual affair ends. One reason it is usually the woman who is hurt more is that the female limbic system is larger than the male's. One likely consequence is that she will become more limbically connected. I once treated a patient named Renee who had a high sex drive. She was not sexually satisfied by her husband. For years, other men flirted with her, and she remained faithful, until one day she decided, out of pure frustration, to have an affair with a coworker. From the outset, they agreed that they were going to have friendly sex, just for fun, just for the pleasure, and in the first 2 months that seemed to work. Then Renee felt herself wanting to see him more often. She tried to get him to meet with her twice a week instead of once a week, as they had originally agreed. Instead of responding positively, her lover pulled away. The more attached she became, the more detached he became. Although Renee and her lover had been on the same wavelength in the beginning, in the end, She had changed and he hadn't, and she felt used. It is important to understand how your body and psyche work. In this case, Renee would have been wise to realize that her limbic system was not quite as open to casual sex as she wanted it to be. She would have been better off staying with her husband and working things out sexually with him rather than picking a casual acquaintance for a sexual liaison. As mentioned above, current research has demonstrated that females, on average, have a larger limbic system than males. This gives females several advantages and disadvantages. Because of their larger limbic brain, women are more in touch with their feelings, and they are generally better able to express their feelings than men. They have an increased ability to bond and be more connected to others, which is why women are usually primary caretakers of children. There is no society on earth where men are primary caretakers of children. Females even have a more acute sense of smell, which is likely to have developed from an evolutionary need for the mother to recognize her young. Having a larger limbic system leaves a female somewhat more susceptible to depression, especially at times of significant hormonal changes, such as the onset of puberty, before menses, after the birth of a child, and at menopause. The limbic system, especially the hypothalamus at the base of the brain, is responsible for translating our emotional state into physical feelings of relaxation or tension. The front half of the hypothalamus sends calming signals to the body through the parasympathetic nervous system. The back half of the hypothalamus sends stimulating or fear signals to the body through the sympathetic nervous system and is responsible for the fight-or-flight response, a primitive state that gets us ready to fight or flee when we are threatened or scared. This hardwired response happens automatically upon activation, such as witnessing or experiencing an emotional or physical threat. The heart beats faster, breathing rate and blood pressure increase, the hands and feet become cooler to shunt blood from the extremities to the big muscles to fight or run away, and the pupils dilate to see better. This limbic translation of emotion is powerful and immediate. It happens with overt physical threats, as well as with more covert emotional threats. This part of the brain is intimately connected to the prefrontal cortex and seems to act as a switching station between running on emotion, the limbic system, and rational thought and problem-solving using our cortex. When the limbic system is turned on, emotions tend to take over. When it is cooled down, more activation is possible in the cortex. Current research shows a correlation between depression and increased limbic system activity and shutdown in the prefrontal cortex, especially on the left side. Problems in the limbic system. Sadness, clinical depression, increased negative thinking, negative perception of events, flood of negative emotions such as hopelessness, helplessness, and guilt, appetite and sleep problems, decreased or increased sexual responsiveness, social isolation, pain. The problems in the limbic system, as in all other systems, generally correspond to their functions. Do you know people who see every situation in a bad light? That pessimism could actually be a limbic system problem because, as mentioned, when this part of the brain is working too hard, the emotional filter is colored by negativity. One person could walk away from an interaction that 10 others would have labeled as positive, but which he or she considers negative. There can also be a flood of negative emotion, such as hopelessness, helplessness, and guilt. What makes this negative mindset even more challenging is that research has shown that depressive thoughts actually interfere with day-to-day memory function and concentration. There are three problems caused by abnormalities in the limbic system that warrant their own sections: bonding disruption, mood disorders, and pain. Bonding disruption. Bonding and limbic problems often go hand in hand. One of the most fundamental bonds in the human universe is the mother-infant bond. Hormonal changes shortly after childbirth, however, can cause limbic or emotional problems in the mother. They are called the baby blues when they are mild, and postpartum depression or psychosis when they are severe. When these problems arise, the limbic system of the mother's brain shows abnormally high activity. This phenomenon has been detected in animals as well as humans. In turn, significant bonding problems may occur. The mother may emotionally withdraw from the baby, preventing the baby from developing normally. For instance, babies who experience failure to thrive or who have low weight or delayed development often have mothers who are emotionally unattached. Thus, it can be said that the abnormal activity of the mother's limbic system causes developmental problems for the baby. Conversely, problems in the limbic system can be caused by outside events that disrupt the human bonding process. This can occur at any stage in life. Here are three of the most common. Death. The death of a parent, spouse, or child causes intense sadness and grief. In these familial relationships, there is often a tight neurochemical bond from the myriad of stored emotional memories and experiences. When it is broken, the activity in the limbic system is disrupted. Many who experience grief say the pain actually feels physical. This sensation is not imaginary. Grief often activates the pain centers in the brain, which are housed near the limbic system. It is interesting to note that the people who had a good relationship with the person who died often heal their grief much more easily than those whose relationship with the deceased was filled with turmoil, bitterness, or disappointment. The reason for this is that a positive relationship is associated with good memories, and remembering and reprocessing these memories helps in the healing process. But when people who had a bad relationship with the deceased person reflect, they have to relive the pain. In their mind, they may still be trying to fix what was wrong and to heal the wound, but they can't. In addition, the guilt they may carry with them impairs the healing process. Donna is an example of this. Donna and her mother had a stormy relationship, fighting constantly over things that were seemingly insignificant. Yet in spite of their problems, the year following her mother's death was the hardest of Donna's life. Her husband could not understand the magnitude of her grief. All he had ever heard her do was complain that her mother was selfish and uninterested in her. What he failed to understand was that Donna had to grieve not only her mother's death, but also the fact that now she would never have the mother-daughter bond she had always wanted. Death had ended all her hopes. Losing a spouse or a lover is traumatic in a different way from losing any other loved one. Once you've made love with the person on a regular basis, a partner's death can be extraordinarily painful because the limbic connection has been broken. A spouse or a lover becomes part of the chemical bond of this part of the brain, and it takes time for the bond to dissolve. Your limbic system misses the person's touch, voice, and smell. Limbic connection doesn't depend just on sexual intimacy. Another often overlooked limbic loss is the loss of a family pet. Many people become as attached to their pets as they do to the significant people in their lives. Pets often give unconditional love and connect with our innermost caring selves. I have often felt that holding one of my cats or petting my dog during a scan would have a positive limbic cooling effect. Unfortunately, while I was writing the first edition of this book, my dog Samantha died of cancer. The sadness in my family was great, with many tears, especially from my daughters. We all had problems sleeping, no one felt like eating, and anything that reminded us of Samantha would quickly bring up tears and feelings of intense sadness. I have known some pet owners who became so depressed after a pet died that they felt suicidal and even paranoid. Appreciating this significant grief is often necessary to healing. Divorce. Divorce can be a source of the most severe kind of stress possible for a human being to experience. For many, it actually causes more anguish to lose a spouse through divorce than it does through death. As stated above, people who are limbically connected have a very powerful bond, and I believe this phenomenon may be one of the major reasons women often don't leave abusive men. They shared their beds and homes with them, and in many cases have had children with these men. To break that bond, which is at the core of their limbic brain, causes a severe rupture that can make the woman feel fragmented, as if she were not quite whole without the man. She may be plagued by sleep and appetite problems, depression, irritability, and social isolation. I once treated a woman who was married to a controlling, angry man whom she could never please. On the day he told her he was leaving her for another woman, he caused a severe limbic injury in her, and she became so depressed that she put her head in the oven and turned on the gas. Fortunately, she was rescued and taken to the hospital. It wasn't until her limbic system began to heal and she could experience her own autonomy that she realized she didn't even like her husband. And in any case, it certainly wasn't worth killing herself over a man who cheated on her. Even the partner who initiates a separation suffers distress and often goes through a period of depression because the chemical limbic bonds break for everyone involved in the separation. The one who is walking out the door may fail to realize this and not anticipate the grief period that will likely follow. For some, divorce is so devastating that it can trigger enormous anger and vengefulness. In fact, I have never seen two people more cruel to each other than those going through a messy divorce. They lose all sense of fairness and rationality and do everything possible to hurt each other. What ignites such negative responses? Breaking the chemical connection activates the limbic system, causing people to become not only depressed and negative, but also oversensitive, taking every little thing the wrong way. Anger quickly follows. They know they have to separate, and unconsciously they use anger and aggression as a way to do it. Another cause of perpetual fighting in divorce situations is related to overactivity in the anterior cingulate gyrus, where people get stuck on their negative thoughts and behaviors. See Chapter 12. The Empty Nest Syndrome. When children leave home, parents often feel intensely sad and bereft. Many lose their appetite and have trouble sleeping. Something is missing. This may be confusing because the parents remember how arduous it was struggling through the growing pains of their offspring's adolescence, and they assumed it would be a relief when the teenagers were finally out of the house and off to their own lives. Of note, it has been suggested that the discordant nature of the parent-child relationship during adolescence may be nature's way of helping parents and teens make the transition from the close bond of childhood to the total independence of young adulthood. Yet, no matter how difficult those adolescent years were for both sides, a tremendous bond still exists, and breaking it is stressful. I once treated a man who developed a clinical depression after his only daughter left home for college. Even though he was happily married, enjoyed his work, and was otherwise healthy, he felt sad, cried easily, had trouble sleeping, became more irritable, and had concentration problems, all symptoms of depression. Another woman I treated, whose two sons went off to college, 1 year after the other, became so depressed and felt so lonely and unimportant that she resorted to having an affair as a way to deal with her pain. She lost her marriage over the affair, became suicidal, and almost lost her life. Depression. Lack of bonding and depression are frequently related. People who are depressed often do not feel like being around others and consequently isolate themselves. The social isolation tends to perpetuate itself. The more isolated a person becomes, the less bonding activity occurs. This worsens the depression and increases the likelihood of further isolation. Depression is associated with low levels of certain neurotransmitters, especially norepinephrine, dopamine, and serotonin. In our experience, these deficits can cause increased activity in the limbic system, which in turn causes many of the problems associated with depression. Since the limbic system is intimately tied to moods, when it is overactive, the ensuing problems with depression may snowball and affect all the other limbic system functions. Ariel came to see me because she had been experiencing symptoms of depression for over 2 years. She was tired, suffered from sleeplessness and negative thinking, had no motivation, and had begun to have suicidal thoughts. The symptom that was most difficult for her husband, however, was her complete loss of interest in sex. He was ready to leave her because he thought she just wasn't interested in him anymore as a man. Why else, he thought, had it been such a long time since she wanted to touch him? After I had her brain scanned, I was not surprised to find that her limbic system was working way too hard. Giving this information to her husband was a powerful tool in helping him to view the situation objectively. His wife wasn't neglecting him because she didn't like him, but rather because something was off balance in her brain. Most important of all, the problem was rectifiable using a four circles approach. We'll discuss how to put four circles plans into action in more depth in Chapter 7. Bipolar disorder. Sandy was 53 years old when she was admitted to the hospital under my care. The month before, her family had had her committed to another psychiatric hospital for delusional thinking and bizarre behavior. She'd actually ripped out all the electrical wiring in her home because she heard voices coming from the walls. In addition to the above symptoms, she was barely getting any sleep, her thoughts raced wildly, and she was irritable. Her doctor had diagnosed bipolar disorder, a cyclical mood disorder, and placed her on lithium, an anti-manic medication, and an anti-anxiety medication. After responding well, she was sent home. But Sandy did not want to believe there was anything wrong with her and stopped taking both medications. Her belief was actually supported by some members of her family who openly told her she didn't need pills and that the doctors prescribed them only to force patients into numerous follow-up visits. Yet their advice was ill-fated, for within weeks of stopping the treatment, Sandy's bizarre behavior returned. This was when her family brought her to the hospital where I worked. When I first saw Sandy, she was extremely paranoid, believing that everyone was trying to hurt her. She was always looking for ways to escape from the hospital. Again, her thoughts were delusional. She believed she had special powers and that others were trying to take them from her. At times, she also appeared very spacey. In an attempt to understand what was going on with her for myself and to convince her that at least part of her problems were biological, I ordered a spec study. Carrying this out did not prove to be easy. Our clinic tried to scan her on 3 separate occasions. The first 2 times, she ripped out the intravenous line, saying we were trying to poison her. The 3rd time was a success because her sister stayed with her and calmed her down by talking her through the experience. The SPECT scans revealed increased activity in her limbic system and patchy increased activity overall. In other words, some areas showed increased activity and some showed decreased. My experience told me that cyclic mood disorders often correlate with focal areas of increased activity in the limbic system, specifically as well as too much activity across the surface of the brain. For Sandy's family, this was powerful evidence that her problems were biological, so that when she refused medication, they were now willing to encourage her to take it. After she accepted their advice, her behavior normalized again. Once I knew she was feeling better and in more control, I showed her the brain studies. Through a better understanding of the problem, she was able to agree to our 4 circles approach, including medication. Sandy's case illustrates one of the most clinically significant problems in people diagnosed with bipolar disorder. This illness is usually responsive to medication. In fact, I have not seen supplements alone fully treat this particular disorder in very many cases. Here, as in true schizophrenia, I'm a huge fan of medication therapy. The problem is that when people afflicted by bipolar disorder improve, many feel so normal that they do not believe they ever had a problem to begin with. It is difficult for them to accept that they have to keep taking medication when they think they no longer have a problem. Yet, as we have seen, prematurely stopping medication actually increases the chances of relapsing. Through the use of brain imaging studies, I have been able to decrease the relapse rate in my patients by visually demonstrating the biological nature of their disorders and the need to treat them as such. A great asset in encouraging patients to cooperate in their own healing. In addition to that, SPECT imaging studies have helped me persuade patients to stop blaming themselves for their symptoms. Pain. In my experience, people who experience chronic pain often have high activity in the thalamus, which is part of the limbic system. This is especially true with issues like fibromyalgia, chronic muscle pain. A number of antidepressants like duloxetine, Cymbalta, and amitriptyline, Elavil, have been found to be successful in alleviating pain syndromes, as have mood-supporting supplements like S-adenosylmethionine, SAMe, and fish oil. Limbic system checklist. Please listen to this list of behaviors and rate yourself or the person you are evaluating on each behavior listed. 5 or more symptoms marked 3 or 4 indicate a high likelihood of limbic system issues. Use the following scale. 0 equals never, 1 equals rarely, 2 equals occasionally, 3 equals frequently, 4 equals very frequently. Question 1. Feelings of sadness. 2. Moodiness. 3. Low energy. 4. Excessive guilt. 5. crying spells. 6. Lowered interest in things usually considered fun. 7. Low self-esteem. 8. Decreased interest in sex. 9. Negative sensitivity to smells or odors. 10. Forgetfulness. 11. Poor concentration. 12. My feelings are often or easily hurt. 13. Feeling overwhelmed by the tasks of daily living. 14. Sensitive to criticism. 15. Lacking confidence in own abilities. Chapter 7. Feel better fast. Limbic system prescriptions. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Philippians 4:8. As discussed in Chapter 6, the limbic system processes our sense of smell, stores highly charged emotional memories, and affects sleep and appetite cycles, moods, sexuality, and bonding. To optimize and support limbic system issues, we have the options of a number of diverse 4 circles limbic prescriptions based on research and my own personal clinical experience. Biological, supplements and medications, aromatherapy, acupuncture, transcranial magnetic stimulation, cranial electric stimulation, neurofeedback, physical exercise, and nutrition. Psychological, ant therapy, the work in 4 questions, and practicing gratitude and appreciation. Social, surrounding yourself with people who provide positive bonding, protecting your children with limbic bonding, building people skills, and having healthy physical contact. Spiritual, finding purpose and passion, and doing random acts of kindness. Biological limbic prescriptions. Consider limbic supplements or medications from the Amen Clinic's method algorithm. In the Amen Clinic's method algorithm, we do not just prescribe supplements or medications based on symptom clusters alone, but rather consider the symptom clusters, i.e., depression, anxiety, ADD, along with the area of the brain we're concerned about. At Amen Clinics, we use the following algorithm when we see high activity in the limbic system plus symptom clusters of depression, cyclic mood issues, or pain. Supplements for high limbic system plus mood issues. My favorite 2 supplements to support a healthy mood are omega-3 fatty acids, especially those that contain a higher EPA content, and S-adenosyl methionine, SAMe. In a review of 15 trials involving 916 participants in omega-3 fatty acids for depression, supplements that had greater than 60% EPA showed significantly more benefit on depression scores versus supplements with less than 60% EPA. The dosage range was 200 to 2200 milligrams a day of EPA. SAMe has over 40 studies validating its use to support mood. Medline Plus, the National Institutes of Health website, which gives scientific evidence ratings for natural supplements, reports that SAMe is likely effective for both depression and osteoarthritis. The dosage of SAMe is between 200 to 400 milligrams, 2 to 4 times a day, half that for children. People who have bipolar disorder should not take SAMe. There have been a number of reported cases of SAMe causing manic or hypomanic episodes, excessively up or happy moods, extreme impulsivity in sexuality or spending money, pressured speech, or decreased need for sleep. Medications for high limbic system plus depressive symptoms, bupropion, Wellbutrin. Supplements for high limbic system plus cyclic mood changes, omega-3 fatty acids and a balance between EPA and DHA. Medications for high limbic system plus cyclic mood changes, lithium, or anticonvulsants such as lamotrigine, Lamictal, or valproate, Depakote. Supplements for high limbic system plus pain, SAMe or omega-3 fatty acids. Medications for high limbic system plus pain, duloxetine, Cymbalta, amitriptyline, Elavil, or gabapentin, Neurontin. See Chapter 16 to learn more about the 7 types of anxiety and depression and what to do for them. To get the best results with supplements or medication, I use them together with other limbic prescriptions described in this chapter. Biological. Surround yourself with soothing scents. Your limbic system is the part of your brain that directly processes your sense of smell. That is why perfumes and wonderful smelling soaps are attractive and unpleasant body odors are repellent. In the British journal The Lancet, a study was reported on the benefits of aromatherapy using the oil from lavender flowers. When used properly, lavender oil aroma helped people to feel less stressed and less depressed. It also enhanced sleep. In aromatherapy, special fragrances are used in a steam machine, in the bath, on the pillow, and in potpourris. The right smells likely cool the limbic system. Pleasing fragrances are like an anti-inflammatory. By surrounding yourself with flowers, sweet fragrances, and other pleasant smells, you affect the working of your brain in a powerful and positive way. However, there is a difference between ingesting the substance and smelling it. When you ingest something, it goes to the stomach and is processed by the digestive system. Moreover, many essential oils, including lavender, are dangerous if ingested. Consider cinnamon, commonly used for cooking in countries throughout the world. Being of Lebanese descent, my mother used to put cinnamon in many dishes, including stuffed grape leaves, one of my favorites. When I recently told her that the scent of cooked cinnamon is considered a natural aphrodisiac for men, she put her hand to her forehead and said, "That's why I have 7 kids. Your father would never leave me alone." Biological. Acupuncture. The ancient Chinese medical art of acupuncture has been shown to have multiple mental health benefits, including helping with mood, addiction, and pain. Brain imaging studies have shown that acupuncture increases blood flow to the brain and helps to calm the limbic system at the same time. It appears that acupuncture works through a completely different mechanism than do typical antidepressants. It has been shown to work through the endorphin system, the brain's natural pain-killing mechanism. If a person has been resistant to typical antidepressants, but gets relief from their mood problems from opiate-like drugs such as morphine or hydrocodone, Vicodin, this is an indication to me that acupuncture might be helpful. Biological. Repetitive transcranial magnetic stimulation, RTMS. RTMS is an FDA-approved treatment for depression. A powerful magnet is placed usually over the left front part of the brain to stimulate the brain. This therapy has been found to boost blood flow and activity patterns in this part of the brain and subsequently calm the limbic system. RTMS is a clinically proven treatment for depression. We use it at Amen Clinics. In our experience, it has about an 80% success rate with few side effects. RTMS is also being used for other conditions not approved by the FDA, including pain, addictions, obsessive-compulsive disorder, and autism. In my experience, it is important to have a baseline brain scan to have an idea of exactly where the brain should be treated with RTMS. Biological, cranial electric stimulation, CES. CES is another electrical stimulation treatment for the brain that I believe has a limbic action. This treatment is less expensive than RTMS, but has supportive scientific literature, especially in the areas of mood enhancement, sleep, and pain. Biological, neurofeedback. Neurofeedback is a treatment where brainwave activity is measured and then optimized through training regimens with patients. There are studies suggesting neurofeedback can help with mood and pain, as well as solid scientific evidence that it can help for ADD, ADHD. Biological, physical exercise. A head-to-head study comparing exercise with antidepressant medication found that after 12 weeks, both therapies were equally effective. At 10 months, exercise was actually more effective, and it has no side effects. See Chapter 19 for the best brain-healthy physical exercise. Biological, nutrition. There is a powerful connection between food and mood. Inflammation-promoting diets are associated with depression and dementia, while anti-inflammatory diets are associated with improved mood, memory, and energy. Chapter 20 will discuss the Brain Warrior diet as well as the brain-gut connection. Psychological limbic prescriptions. Psychological, ant therapy. One of the limbic techniques that is a mainstay of helping our patients at the Amen Clinics is what I call ant therapy, or learning how to kill the ants, automatic negative thoughts. I coined this term in the early 1990s after a hard day at the office, during which I had several very difficult sessions that day with suicidal patients, teenagers in turmoil, and a married couple who hated each other. When I got home that evening, I found thousands of ants in my kitchen. It was gross. As I started to clean them up, the acronym came to me. I thought of my patients from that day. Like my infested kitchen, my patients' brains were also infested by the negative thoughts that were robbing them of their joy and stealing their happiness. The next day, I brought a can of ant spray to work as a visual aid and have been working diligently ever since to help my patients eradicate their ants. Here are the actual ant-killing principles that we use at Amen Clinics with people of all ages. Truly learning these principles will help you gain more control over your feelings and behavior. 1. Did you know that every time you have a thought, your brain releases chemicals? That's how our brains work. You have a thought, your brain releases chemicals, an electrical transmission goes across your brain, and you become aware of what you're thinking. Thoughts are real, and they have a direct impact on how you feel and how you behave. 2. Every time you have a mad thought, an unkind thought, a sad thought, or a cranky thought, your brain releases negative chemicals that activate your limbic system and make your mind and body feel bad. Think about the last time you were mad. How did you feel physically? When most people are mad, their muscles get tense, their hearts beat faster, their hands start to sweat, and they may even begin to feel a little dizzy. Your body reacts to every negative thought you have. 3. Every time you have a good thought, a happy thought, a hopeful thought, or a kind thought, your brain releases chemicals that make your body feel good. Think about the last time you had a really happy thought, such as when you went on a great date or cuddled a child. What did you feel inside your body? When most people are happy, their muscles relax, their heartbeat and breath slow. Your body also reacts to your good thoughts. 4. Your body reacts to every thought you have. We know this from polygraphs or lie detector tests. During a lie detector test, you are hooked up to equipment that measures hand temperature, heart rate, blood pressure, breathing rate, muscle tension, and how much the hands sweat. The tester then asks questions such as, did you do that thing? If you did the bad thing, your body is likely to have a stress response that might manifest in the following ways. Hands get colder. Heart goes faster. Blood pressure goes up. Breathing gets faster. Muscles get tight. Hands sweat more. Almost immediately, the body reacts to your thoughts, whether you say anything or not. Now, the opposite is also true. If you did not do what they are asking you about, it is likely your body will experience a relaxation response and react in the following ways. Hands will become warmer. Heart rate will slow. Blood pressure goes down. Breathing becomes slower and deeper. Muscles become more relaxed, and hands become drier. Again, almost immediately, your body reacts to what you think. This happens regardless of whether you are telling the truth or lying. Your body reacts to every thought you have, whether it is about school, friends, family, or anything else. 5. Thoughts are very powerful. They can make your mind and body feel good, or they can make you feel bad. Every cell in your body is affected by every thought you have. That is why when people get emotionally upset, they often develop physical symptoms, such as headaches or stomach aches. If you can think about good things, you will feel better. Did you know that Abraham Lincoln had periods of bad depression well into adulthood? He even thought about killing himself and had some days when he didn't get out of bed. In his later life, however, he learned to treat his bad feelings with laughter. He became a very good storyteller and loved to tell jokes. He learned that when he laughed, he felt better. 6. Your automatic thoughts do not always tell you the truth. I once knew a boy who thought he was stupid because he didn't do well on tests. When we tested his IQ, however, we discovered that he was close to being a genius. You don't have to believe every thought that goes through your head. It's important to think about your thoughts to see if they help you or hurt you. Unfortunately, if you never challenge your thoughts, you just believe them as if they were true. These negative thoughts invade your mind like ants at a picnic or in my kitchen. One negative thought, like one ant at a picnic, is not a big deal. Two or three negative thoughts, like two or three ants at a picnic, become more irritating. And 10 or 20 negative thoughts can cause real problems. 7. You can train your thoughts to be positive and hopeful, or you can just allow them to be negative and upset you. Once you learn about your thoughts, you can choose to think good thoughts and feel good, or you can choose to think bad thoughts and feel lousy. That's right. It's up to you. Research has even shown that positive emotions, especially a sense of awe, can reduce inflammation that might otherwise adversely affect your health. You can learn how to change your thoughts, and you can learn to change the way you feel. One way to learn how to change your thoughts is to notice them when they are negative and talk back to them. If you can correct negative thoughts, you take away their power over you. When you just think a negative thought without challenging it, your mind believes it and your body reacts to it. Learning how to not believe every stupid thought you have is a critical skill to ending unnecessary suffering. Ants pop up in your brain automatically, seemingly out of nowhere, and when left unchallenged, they bite, nibble, torture, and infest your mind. When the ants are left unchecked, they steal your happiness and literally make you feel old, fat, depressed, and feeble-minded. Whenever you notice these automatic negative thoughts or ants, you need to crush them, or they'll begin to ruin your whole day. One way to crush these ants is to write down the negative thought and talk back to it. For example, if you think, "Other people will laugh at me when I give my speech," write it down and then write a positive response, something like, "Others may find it interesting." Doing this helps take away their power and will help you feel better. Some people tell me that they have trouble talking back to these negative thoughts because they feel that they are lying to themselves. They believe that the thoughts that go through their minds first are the truth. Remember, thoughts sometimes lie to you. It's important to check them out before you just believe them. Here are 9 different ways that our thoughts lie to us and make situations out to be worse than they really are. Think of these 9 ways as different species or types of ants. When you can identify the type of ant, you begin to take away the power it has over you. I have labeled some of these ants as red because they are particularly harmful to you. Notice and exterminate ants whenever possible. Ant number 1, all or nothing thinking. These thoughts happen when you make something out to be all good or all bad. There's nothing in between. You see everything in black or white terms. If a baseball player strikes out, he may think he's the worst player ever, rather than saying to himself, "The best baseball players make an out 7 times out of 10. Next time will be better." Ant number 2, always thinking. This happens when you think something that happened will always repeat itself. For example, if your wife is irritable and she gets upset, you might think to yourself, "She's always yelling at me," even though she yells only once in a while. But just the thought, "She's always yelling at me," is so negative that it makes you feel sad and upset. Whenever you think in words like always, never, no one, everyone, every time, or everything, you're falling prey to always thinking, which isn't usually accurate. There are many examples of always thinking. No one ever calls me. Everyone is always picking on me at work. You never listen to me. This type of ant is very common. Watch out for it. Ant number 3. Red ant, focusing on the negative. This occurs when your thoughts only see the bad in a situation and ignore any of the good that might happen. For example, let's say you gave a presentation at work. Most of your coworkers told you that you did a great job, but one person fell asleep during the talk, and now all you can think about was how boring it must have been. If you want to keep your mind healthy, it's very important to focus on the good parts of your life more than you do the bad parts. I once helped a child who was depressed. In the beginning, he could only think about the bad things that happened to him. He had recently moved and told me he would never make new friends, even though he already had several. He thought he would do poorly in his new school, even though he got mostly good grades, and that he would never have any fun, even though his new house was near a bay and an amusement park. By focusing on the negative in his new situation, he was making it very hard on himself to adjust. He would have been much better off if he looked at all the positives in the situation rather than the negatives. After 3 weeks of ant therapy, he told me, "It's an ant ghost town in my head." Ant number 4, red ant. Fortune telling. This is where you predict the worst possible outcome to a situation. For example, let's say you just started a vacation and the hotel had trouble checking you in. You immediately think that this is a sign that everything else will go wrong. The first negative thing that happens can put you into a depression spiral. Ant number 5. Red ant, mind reading. This happens when you believe that you know what another person is thinking when they haven't even told you. Many people do this, and more often than not, it gets them into trouble. It's a major reason why people have trouble in relationships. I tell people, please don't read my mind. I have enough trouble reading it myself. You know you're mind reading when you have thoughts such as, those people are mad at me, they don't like me, they're talking about me. Ant number 6, thinking with your feelings. This occurs when you believe your negative feelings without ever questioning them. Feelings are very complex. And as I mentioned before, they sometimes lie to you. But many people believe their feelings, even if there's no evidence for them. Thinking with your feelings, thoughts usually start with the words, I feel. For example, I feel like you don't love me. I feel stupid. I feel like a failure. I feel nobody will ever trust me. Whenever you have a strong negative feeling, check it out. Look for the evidence behind the feeling. Do you have real reasons to feel that way? Or are your feelings based on events, insecurities, or things from the past? Ant number 7, guilt beatings. Guilt is typically not a helpful emotion. In fact, guilt often causes you to do things that you don't want to do. Guilt beatings happen when you think with words like should, must, ought, or have to. Here are some examples. I must never lie. I ought to call my grandmother. I have to pay my bills. Because of human nature, whenever we think that we must do something, no matter what it is, we don't want to do it. Remember the story of Adam and Eve. The only restriction that God put on them when he gave them the Garden of Eden was that they shouldn't eat from the tree of knowledge. Almost immediately after God told them what they shouldn't do, they started to wonder why they shouldn't do it. Well, you know how the rest of the story turned out. It is better to replace guilt beatings with phrases like, I want to do this. It fits my goal to do that. It would be helpful to do this, etc. So in our examples above, it would be more productive to rephrase those thoughts to, it's helpful for me not to lie, because people will trust me. I want to call my grandmother. It is in my best interest to pay my bills. Ant number 8, labeling. Whenever you attach a negative label to yourself or to someone else, you inhibit your ability to take a clear look at the situation. Some examples of negative labels are nerd, jerk, idiot, spoiled, brat, and clown. Negative labels are very harmful. Whenever you call yourself or someone else a spoiled brat or an idiot, you lump that person in your mind with all of the spoiled brats or idiots that you've ever known, and you become unable to deal with them in a reasonable way. Stay away from negative labels for yourself and others. Ant number 9, the most poisonous red ant. Blaming. Where you blame others for the problems in your life. Typically, you'll hear yourself thinking, "It wasn't my fault that. That wouldn't have happened if you had. How was I supposed to know? It's your fault that." Blaming others starts early. I have 4 children. When my next to youngest daughter, Katie, was 18 months old, she would blame her brother, who was 11, for any trouble she might be in. Her nickname for him was Didi, and Didi did it, even if he wasn't home. One day she spilled a drink at the table while her mother's back was turned. When she turned around and saw the mess, Katie told her, "Didi spilled my drink." When her mother told her that her brother was at a friend's house, Katie continued to insist her brother had done it. "Didi came home, spilled my drink, and then he left." Whenever you blame someone else for the problems in your life, you become powerless to change anything. Many of us play the blame game, but it rarely helps us. Stay away from blaming others and take personal responsibility for changing the problems you have. Summary of the ant types. 1. All or nothing thinking. Thoughts that things are all good or all bad. 2. Always thinking. Thinking in words like always, never, no one, everyone, every time, or everything. 3. Focusing on the negative. Only seeing the bad in a situation. 4. Fortune telling. Predicting the worst possible outcome to a situation with little or no evidence for it. 5. Mind reading. Believing that you know what another person is thinking, even though they haven't told you. 6. Thinking with your feelings. Believing negative feelings without ever questioning them. 7. Guilt beatings. Thinking in words like should, must, ought, or have to. 8. Labeling. Attaching a negative label to yourself or to someone else. 9. Blaming. Blaming someone else for the problems you have. Train yourself to recognize ants whenever one